Pretty short daf today. So we're on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph at the second line. So the Gemara is now going to give a different approach to what we were discussing the last couple of days about the location of what's called the Lishkas Beis HaTlaim, the chamber where the lambs were stored for the Karban Tamid. So the Gemara says, Rav Ada Barei de Rav Yitzchak Amar, Hai Lishka Aktsuye Maktia, Uda Ase Mitzafon Mischaz Yale Bidarom, Uda Ase Midarom Mischaz Yale Bitzafon. The Gemara says that it's not really accurate to say that this chamber where the lambs were stored was located in one of the corners of the Lishkas Beis Hamoke that we mentioned the other day, the chamber where they lit the fire for the Kohanim, but rather, it was somewhat off to the side, and it really just depended on which side you were coming from. If you were coming from the north, the chamber appeared as if it was in the south, and vice versa. And the Gemara, in fact, says, "Umistabra divimaravis deromis havai." It's logical that really this chamber was located in the southwestern portion of the chamber of the Lishkas Beis Hamoked. Mimai, how do we know that? Midoraminan lechem apanim alechem apanim. Umishaninan amaravuna berei derav Yehoshua marka chashiv derech yamin umarka chashiv derech small. There is a contradiction that appears between two Mishnayos, one of Meseches Tamid and one of Meseches Midos, regarding the location of the Lishkas Lechem Apanim. One of the chambers that we mentioned the other day was the chamber in which the Lechem Apanim was stored. So one Mishnah seems to imply that the chamber was in the northeastern section of the Mikdash. The other Mishnah seems to imply that it was in the southeast. So how do you resolve that? So the Gemara says very simply, it just depends which direction you're coming from. If you're coming from the east, then it looks like it's located in the southwest. If you're coming from the left side, it looks like it's in the north. So just as that's the resolution in terms of the location of the Lishka for the Lechem Apanim, we can give that same approach in terms of the Lishka's Beis HaTlaim, the chamber in which the lambs were stored. It just depends on which direction you're coming from. So the Gemara explains, Iyamar Bishlama Bimarav is Duromis Havai, Hainu Dimisari to Lechem Apanim, Alechem Apanim. Ella I amar tzfonis maravis havai sof my teruta de lechem apanim. Ella lav shmamina b'maravis deromis havai shmamina. The Gemara says this idea that depends on your approach. In other words, which direction you're coming from only makes sense if you think that the lishkas beis hatlam, the chamber where the lambs were stored, was in fact located in the southwestern corner of the mikdash. But if you think that the chamber was located in the northwestern corner, then it's problematic. Why is it problematic? Because as we mentioned the other day, there would be another chamber that would be interposing between the Lishkas Beis HaTlaim, where the lambs were stored, and the Lishka where the Lechem Apanim was stored, which is the Lishkas HaChosamos, which is the chamber in which they had the seals for people to purchase karbanos in the Mikdash. So the only way that this approach of the Gemara makes any sense at all, to say that it just depends on which approach you're coming from, in other words, it depends on the direction, that's going to determine where you think the chamber is located, would only be true if in fact the chamber of the lambs was located in the southwestern portion of the Mikdash. But if it was located in the northwestern portion, then it would be problematic because again of that other chamber with the seals, the Lishkas HaChosamos would be interposing. So now the Gemara asks, V'ha'amar Marko Pino Shah Tapona Lo Yehu Ela Derech Yamin LaMizrach. Didn't we say in the Gemara earlier that every time the Kohanim turn in the Mikdash, whenever they're in the process of doing the Avoda, they always have to go to the right, they always have to go to the east? So the question is, if the chamber is located in the, if you're going to be going in a certain direction and the chamber is going to be located in the west, that's going to be problematic because you're going in the wrong direction. So the Gemara says, no, Hani Mile Ba'avoda, Avalhacha Chushbina Ba'almahu. That notion that the Kohanim always have to turn east, always have to go right, that's in the course of the Avoda. Our Gemara is simply laying out the actual layout of the chambers in the Mikdash. So, in other words, one guy who was walking in one direction might see the chamber on the western corner, the other guy might see it on the eastern corner. But that's not to say that when the Kohanim were actually doing the Avoda, that they would necessarily come from the west. They would always face, in other words, they would always face east when they were doing the avoda. Fine. Then we said in the Mishnah, Shakoin Godo Makrav Chelik Barosh, the Notel Chelik Barosh. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Ketzad Makrav Chelik Barosh, Omer Ola Zoani Makrav, Mincha Zoani Makrav, Ketzad Notel Chelik Barosh, Omer Chata Zoani Yochel, Asham Zeani Yochel. Basically, the Kohen Gadol had the right to offer any carbon that he wanted or to eat from any carbon that he wanted without needing to basically subject himself to the lotteries, to the pious, right? As we'll talk a lot about as we go on, especially in the next paragraph, he didn't need to subject himself to any of those lotteries to determine whether he would have a share in offering or in eating the karban. The Kohen Gadol decided he wanted to partake either in the offering or in the eating process of a karban. He had the right to do so without any sort of hesitation. So then the Gemara explains, v'notel chala mishtei chalos. Yeah.
Rabbi, quick question.
Sure. Yeah.
if he chose to do a certain carbon, was he obligated to eat something from that carbon or no connection?
Not necessarily. I mean, again, it might depend on what the carbon is, but not necessarily. They're two separate things. Okay, then the Gemara says, "Venotel chalam yishtei chalos, arba ul chamish m'mazel lechem apanim, Rebbe omer le'olam chamish, shene'emar v'hayasal yaharon ulvanav, mechtzal yaron u'mechtzal levanav." So the Gemara notes that the Kohen Gadol would take one of the two loaves of the shtei halachem. The shtei halachem was the carbon that was offered on Shavuos. He would take one of those two loaves, and then in terms of the lechem apanim, the Gemara quotes a slight machlokas about how many loaves of the lechem apanim would the Kohen Gadol take. So according to the Tanakhama, he would either take four or five, whereas according to Rebbe, he would always take five. How does he know that? Because the pasuk says, "V'hayasal aharon ulvanav." The lechem apanim will be for Aaron and his children. So the Rebbe understands that to mean that half the loaves go to Aaron, half, in other words, the Kohen Gadol, half go to the other Kohanim. And according to Rebbe, there were only 10 loaves of lechem apanim to be distributed, as we go on to the Gemara. So the Gemara explains, "Hagufa kashya amar notel chala achas mishtei chalos mani Rebbe he do amar palga shakil ima mitziasa arba o chamesh mimaasa lechem apanim asan the rabbanan da amre lo shakil palga ima seifa Rebbe omer lo olam chamesh reisha v'seifa Rebbe mitziasa rabbanan." The Gemara says that this pshat is very difficult textually because, well, in other words, what the Gemara is basically saying is the following: that the statement that told us that the Kohen Gadol is entitled to one of the two loaves of the Shtei HaLechem, that reflects the Shita of Rebbe, because Rebbe holds the Kohen Gadol takes half of whatever is being given out, whether it's the Lechem Apanim, whether it's the Shtei HaLechem, so that reflects the Shita of Rebbe. But if you look at the middle clause of the Braisa, it says that that from the Lechem Apanim, he's entitled to either four or five. That reflects the Shita of the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan say the Kohen Gadol has to take less than half, whereas Rebbe says he always takes five, because he's entitled, as we just said before, to exactly half according to Rebbe. The problem is that if you're going to basically align the Braisa in such a way where the first and last clause are reflecting the Shita of Rebbe, but the middle clause is reflecting the Rabbanan, so textually it's very, very difficult to say that there's different authors and different parts of the same Braisa. To which the Gemara responds, "No, Amar Abaye Reisha Umitziasa Rabbanan Umodu Rabbanan Befrusa Delavorach Ara Lemesa Lechoin Gadol." The Gemara says, really, fundamentally, the first and the middle clause of the Braisa are reflecting the Shita of the Rabbanan, which would therefore mean that in theory, the Kohen Gadol should be getting less than one loaf from the Shtei HaLechem, because again, the Rabbanan hold that the Kohen Gadol is entitled to less than half. The problem is, however, that the Rabbanan agree with Rebbe here, because it's not appropriate to give the Kohen Gadol less than a full loaf of bread. So, in other words, almost by default, you have to give him a full loaf, even though the Rabbanan think that technically speaking, he shouldn't really be getting the full loaf, he should be getting less than half, but again, you don't have a choice, because it's not appropriate to give him only a half a loaf of bread. Then the Gemara wants to know, "Umay arba o chamish?" So why then does the Gemara say that according to the Rabbanan, sometimes the Kohen Gadol gets four loaves of the lechem apanim, sometimes he gets five? So the Gemara explains, "The Rabbanan da amri nichnas notel sheish v'yotze notel sheish uschar hagafas delasos lo mishtei mesrei ba'i miflag batzir chada mipalga chamei shakil l'Rabbi Yehuda da amar nichnas notel shevesh tayim bischar hagafas delasos v'yotze notel chameish me'eser ba'i miflag batzir chada mipalga v'shakil arba." The Gemara says whether the Kohen Gadol takes four or five loaves from the lechem apanim depends on the machlokas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yehuda. What's the machlokas here? The question is, how many of those loaves of the lechem apanim are distributed to the incoming mishmar of Kohanim, the incoming watch of Kohanim that were going to do avoda in the coming week, versus the outgoing mishmar of Kohanim that had just done avoda the previous week? So according to the Rabbanan, it's a 50-50 split. The outgoing mishmar gets six loaves, and the incoming mishmar gets six loaves, and there's no discrepancy, which means that you have a total of 12 loaves. So that means that the Kohen Gadol is going to be entitled to get just under half of that. In other words, he's going to be entitled to five loaves. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda says no. He says that the outgoing mishmar is actually entitled to seven loaves of lechem apanim. Why? In other words, why do they get one more than the or two more than the incoming? Because they also have to do what's called hagafas delasos. They have to lock and close the gates of the mikdash, so they get an extra two loaves for that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, which means that the Kohen Gadol is only going to be left with four loaves. So again, that's the machlokas. In other words, the question about whether the Kohen Gadol is entitled to four or five loaves of the lechem apanim will depend on this machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim about how to divvy up the loaves of the lechem apanim between the incoming and the outgoing mishmar. Then the Gemara says, "Rava Amar Kula Rebbe." You know, really, the entire Braisa reflects Rebbe, and again, Rebbe was the one who said the Kohen Gadol always gets half of the loaves. V'savar Laki Rebbe Yehuda, and he also holds like Rebbe Yehuda that the outgoing mishmar is getting seven loaves and the incoming is getting five. V'el Amai Arba HaChamish Boi L'Mishka. But if that's the case, how could there ever be a scenario where the Kohen Gadol only takes four? He should always be entitled to five loaves. The Gemara says, no, lo kashi, ha de'ika mishmer ha-mesakev, ha de'lika mishmer ha-mesakev, i'ika mishmer ha-mesakev, mishmona boyle miflag, v'shakil arba, i'leika mishmer ha-mesakev, me'eser boyle miflag, v'shakil chamesh. The Gemara says, it depends if you have a scenario where one of the mishmaros had to stay later. Let's say, for example, you had a case where Shabbos went into a yantif, where let's say a yantif either ended on a Thursday night, or a yantif began on a Sunday night. So in certain scenarios like that, the kohanim would have to stay a few extra days. So that's what the Gemara refers to as a mishmar hamesakev. When the kohanim had to stay over for extra days because of yantif, then they were entitled to take extra loaves. So in that case, the kohen gadol will get almost like cheated out of one loaf of bread. He would only get four. But in a normal week when there was no yantif coming up, so then the kohen gadol was entitled to five loaves. So then the question is, yihachi my Rebbe Omer la'olam chamesh kashya. So then the Gemara says, so what then did Rebbe mean when he said la'olam chamesh, that you always take five loaves? It's not really true, because there are certain cases like where yantif is on a Sunday or yantif is on a Sunday night where you only take four. So the Gemara says, you're right, kashya, that textually is a question that we have to figure out. But the bottom line is that in general, in normal circumstances, the Kohen Gadol is going to take five loaves of the Lechem upon him.